Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it. I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Happy resurrection. Can we still say that? Is it expired? Is it over? Did it just end on Easter Sunday? I got my buddy Jamal in the house. Jamal, give everybody a shout out.
Hey, guys.
We're going to get your mic going here. God bless you, man. Thanks for braving the microphone. Your first time on the air here, huh?
Oh, first time in front of you. So
you've been calling this place, though.
A lot.
You've been lighting those phones up, working it up, calling these guests, giving them a hard time, traumatizing.
Well, just had a few statements I want to make. Studio audience, bear with me. Hope I do well today.
You're going to do great, man. I'm just glad you're here, man. We are in the Word today. It's a Wednesday in the Word edition of Truth Talk Live, and I'm giving a shout out right now.
All right.
Oh, my soul. We got like 7 new listeners. We like tripled our audience, like in one fell swoop. I got John the Skater. Just saw him. He's listening on the app right now, the Truth Network app, which is F-R-E-E,
right.
Free. I got Joseph. Shout out to Joseph, pulling out of a deli just a little bit ago. He's going to turn it on.
I got
Milana and Tifa. Both of them are listening right now.
Amen.
Shout out to you ladies. God right. bless you. I got Jason and Vontae. V-O-N-T-A-E, not Devontae, and I like that name too, but okay. I told him, it's kind of cool, I've never heard it without the D.
Right.
Vontae, they're listening right now.
Okay.
Brand new listener to the Truth Network, and welcome to all of you who just have joined us. I'm Stu Epperson. This is Truth Talk Live. I'm coming in. I had 2 Truth Network pastors coming out of the studio with their Bibles. Man, they were fired up. I just put it on my IG, a video. Check it out. It's loading. It's 76% uploading. We got Baller Nation in the house right
Baller
there. There's
Nation.
A lot of games sitting right there.
That's right.
We got a tentative free-for-all Friday from the Final Four this week with Randy Shepherd and Jamie Johnson. They are on site. They just landed in Phoenix.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Baller Nation, you may have to be here Friday to help host the show. I'm going to be coming from Raleigh, so I'm working all that out. I got to be with Transworld Radio down there. May get a game of buckets somewhere. You know, I mean, it's fine. March Madness.
Amen.
So, here's the question. Has anyone listening ever walked on water? Walking on water is front and center. 2 of the greatest miracles Christ did, the feeding of the 5,000, which is recorded, by the way, it's the only miracle besides the resurrection that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. We talked about it last week on the Wednesday in the Word edition of Truth Talk Live. Miracle number 2, which we've heard about, it's in 3 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, John, the walking on water. Just remarkable. Jesus walked on water.
Amen.
And he came to the disciples. They were scared out of their wits. We're going to get into that. Jamal's going to read the scripture. We're going to go into the break having read the scripture. We got questions to ask. Why did he send the multitude ahead? All that stuff. What's going on? Why did Jesus knowingly send them into this trial, into this storm?
Right.
Knowingly, he sent them into this disaster zone,
right,
where they would be just scared, just petrified, and you know, near death. I want everyone to think about the most scary moment in your life. We talked about that a little this morning, didn't we, over at Dario?
Yes, sir, we did.
Wednesday in the Word, a couple of guys said some things jokingly. You know, one guy said, when I got married. Larry, come on now.
Yeah.
But, you know, think about that moment you were scared to death. You thought, this is it. I see my life flash right in front of me.
And, Stu, you're probably going to get into this also, but in case you're not, you had a story yourself, and it just reminded me about a father's love and about a son's love for his father. So I don't want you to forget about that story.
Thank you. Let's remind me, we'll get toward the end of the show. We'll share my scariest moment story, and it's connected to Big Stu and to the Heavenly Father. We'll talk about that. Read the scriptures for us, will you, real quick. Tell us the passage you're reading, and then read it out loud in your best radio voice, Jamal.
So are we going to go through 45 to 56?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. This is going to be Mark 4:3-4, and Mark 6:45-56. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up to the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to whoever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into the village, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they may just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well.
Hmm. So that's God's word. May it be a lamp unto our feet, a light in our path. Mark 6:45-56. Jamal, hit us with that first question.
Why did Jesus send the disciples ahead?
So you got his amazing miracle, feeding the 5,000.
Right.
And miracle upon miracle during, after, he's teaching, he's healing the sick, all kinds of people there.
Yes.
John 6:15 gives us some insight into this. Mm. John 6:15 says, and they were trying to make him king.
Mm.
So here are the Jews, they thought, you know, hey, here is our Messiah. Here is our king. Let's mount him on the steed and let's ride him into Rome. Let's overthrow this awful regime that's been oppressing us.
Yes.
And so that's the idea they had for Jesus. So here, Jesus sends his disciples ahead so he could deal with a multitude who wanted to make him king, so he could explain to them, it's not my time. And over and over again, he says that, my time has not yet come.
Right.
The world says, instant gratification, the world says, hey, skip the cross, go right to the crown. Mm. The devil did it in the temptation, right? Mm, those temptations. He said, make this stuff, you know, instant bread from stones. Mm. You know, that all the temptations were based on instant gratification.
Right.
You know, forget the plan of God, throw yourself off, I'll give you all this stuff.
Mm.
Whereas Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to do the will of my Father. I'm going to finish his will. I'm going to complete the work he gave me to do, John 17:5. So here Jesus sends the crowd away, but something else is going on here. He sent them away to go and pray.
Mm.
Why did Jesus pray? Why did Jesus prioritize prayer? He's got all these people in front of him, Jamal.
Right.
And yet he goes to the mountain and prays. If Jesus is so busy, and yet he could pray, are you more busy than him?
No.
Is what you're doing more important than what Jesus is doing?
No, sir.
Why should prayer be a utmost priority of ours? Someone answer that question when we come back.
Amen.
866-34-TRUTH. This Wednesday Award edition of Truth Talk Live. We're coming back right after this. Hang on.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Jesus walked on the water, got some fun tunes to play for you here coming into the next break. I'm Stu Everson. This is Truth Talk Live. The walking on the water incident. You have some cool, you have about three, if you were to outline Mark 6:45-56, these verses, you would have the prayer of Jesus. Jesus prayed. You would have walking on water, that whole instant, and then you'd have the miracles that he did, power of Christ in prayer, power of Christ in walking on water, power of Christ in miracles, and they were touching the hem of his garment. I mean, remarkable. We're going to go through all these questions. I got my buddy Jamal in here.
Yes, sir.
Who's one of my Wednesday Word partners. He actually navigates the Wednesday in the Word Facebook page.
Yes.
And by the way, you can watch this whole lesson on there. Just go to the Wednesday Word page. And not too many. We don't want to overwhelm you. God's word is intense, just like the Truth Network app. Slow down, everyone. Now, don't listen too much, because you're going to start sharing that, and people are going to get saved. And
right.
We got to dial it down, Jamal. Come on, man.
I know.
Hey, but this is really fascinating. We left off when Jesus, he let the multitude go away, sent the disciples ahead, and he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, three times Christ did this in Mark. Okay, early on in Mark, we studied a few weeks ago, where he went and prayed before selecting his 12 disciples.
Yes, sir.
Later on in Mark, around his 14-ish or so, he goes and prays in Gethsemane, in the garden, right? The night of his betrayal.
Right.
The night before his execution, Good Friday, night before Good Friday and all that, after the Lord's Supper and such, the Last Supper. So, but this time he prays. He had just news of John, the beheading, the martyrdom of John the Baptist had happened. So he got that news. Mm-hmm. He'd just been on a absolute whirlwind miracle working tour. Mm-hmm. He had sent his disciples out two by two, the power of that.
Yes.
They came back and reported all these great things. Mm-hmm. So here Jesus goes to pray. And so it just makes you think, and I want to, if someone out there want to answer this question or jump in the conversation, if Jesus was as busy as he was, and if he was, I would say he was important, like he created the earth.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
And he is the Lord and Savior. He is our Redeemer. He's our ruler forever.
Yes.
And ever and ever.
Right.
If he prioritized prayer, what should that tell us?
So your soccer game, your extracurricular schedule, you're the CEO of your company, and, I just don't have enough time.
I'm so busy.
I'm so busy. So you don't have at least 5 minutes, 30 seconds. One thing that I heard on Truth Network, surprisingly, I think it was Dr. David Jeremiah. He said, well, when Peter got out of the boat, Pastor David McGee, sorry, get my preachers mixed up sometimes. When Peter got out of the boat and he started sinking, he didn't have time to say, oh, Jesus, there's thou was, you know, help us me out. He just said, help.
Right. Yeah. No sanctimonious, no catchphrases or cliches or just anecdotes. Help. Just boom.
Yeah. And Jesus said, wow. You know, of ye little faith and helped him up. He didn't say, oh, well, Peter, that wasn't long enough. Right. Sorry, you're just going to drown. You need to give me a longer prayer. So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
What's happened to that, though? I mean, and this is a hot, sizzling, high ratings topic, prayer. You know, you want to get people to pack out your church. Hey, we're having a prayer meeting.
Right.
You know, right? Have a healing service and everyone will show up, you know?
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
Right? Or having a big, you know, service on exercising demons, and you know they'll pack it out. But we're gonna have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. You know, you might have five people. Why is that? Why, if Christ prioritized prayer, why don't we? Let me ask that question. Let me give the phone number 866-348-7884. Why don't we prioritize prayer like Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm not holding up myself as your matron, your patron, your model of prayer.
Right.
But Jesus Christ prioritized it. Why don't we more? 866-348-7884. Are you as busy as him? Is what you're up to more important than what he was up to?
Right.
And then if that's not the case, why don't we pray more? How has God worked in your life through prayer? What has God taught you? Why is it the disciples, Luke 11, they come to Jesus, Luke 11, 1, they don't say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. Mm. They don't say, Lord, teach us to raise the dead.
Right.
They don't say, Lord, teach us to speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, Lord, teach us to cast out demons or teach us to preach the most incredible sermons.
Right.
In exegesis, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I'm not minimizing those other things, but why did they, of all the things they asked him, what do they see in Jesus, Jamal, that would cause them to ask them, of all those things, they said, teach us to pray?
And to me, and the reason why I say to me, because it's just my opinion, I was telling Stu earlier, I'm not a biblical scholar, but, you know, just my opinion. So to me, in my opinion, prayer covers it all. So if you pray to God, then it's going to cover everything else.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for this business situation. I'm going to pray for some healing. I'm going to pray for this, that, and the third. Well, if you just focus on just healing, well, you're missing other blessings that God could bestow upon you. So if you say, teach me to pray, well, if I pray about any and everything, like Paul says, pray without ceasing, then that's going to be a good coverall.
Okay, let's go to Muncie, Indiana, listening to us on 106.5 FM. If you want to call in, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about Jesus walking on the water, talking about the scariest moment in your life because we're about to visit the disciples in their moment of fright and terror amid the high seas, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. The storms are raging, and all of a sudden they think they see a ghost or some siren or some evil pirate, some evil Blackbeard walking on water toward them, and they're like, we're done, we're doomed, we're dead.
Yeah.
What was your greatest moment of fear, and how did God break through in that moment? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Justin, you're on Truth Talk Live with Stu and my friend Jamal. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Justin, first-time caller here.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Excited, guys. Hey, thank you guys for everything that you do, man. I listen to you guys all day, every day. I convinced my wife to give it a chance, and now she does the same thing. And
awesome.
You guys
praise
just
Lord.
Been a massive blessing to
awesome.
Us.
Awesome. What's your wife's what's your wife's first name? We'll give her a shout out.
Her name is Malia.
Malia, God bless you. Malia, welcome to the Truth Network. Hey, tell all your friends, will you? 106.5 FM, best kept secret in the Muncie, Indiana area, all across Dayton.
Sir.
God bless you, man. That's basketball country, by the way. Talk about March Madness.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Big IU fan. Watch out, guys.
I'm telling you, man.
I just was calling regarding the, why we, it's obvious that Jesus took prayer very seriously. We see that in his, his biggest moments of trial and temptation. That's exactly what he did, is he ran to the Father. And I think that for us, I think that there's probably many different levels to it here. Mm. And I think that, it's probably a little different for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. But, I think first and foremost, it's a lack of faith thing. Mm. I think that maybe that we just ain't sure that Jesus or God is willing to do what is troubling you.
Yeah.
I think lack of faith is probably one. And then two, I think it's just a time thing, a disobedient thing. Mm. We try to deal with it all of ourselves. We're control freaks,
Wow.
And
I just had lunch with a buddy, and he and I both have a hard time sleeping. And, a lot of times it's because I'm worrying. And I found that when I start praying, James 5 says, if anyone is in trouble, let him pray.
Mm.
Very simple. Yep. And so I guess the question to myself convicting me is, to your point, and Justin's already convicted me because he's said some profound things, is God big enough?
Mm.
Is God powerful enough to handle this?
Amen.
Or do I have to – who's God here? Am I the sovereign?
Yep.
Am I the problem solver, the solution, the meal ticket, or is Jesus – in his power, in his omnipotence and omniscience. Wow. Yep. All right, Justin, first time caller, Muncie, Indiana. God bless you. Malaya, your wife, man. Thanks for listening to the Truth Network. What a good word.
Hey, thank you.
What about it, folks? Why don't we pray more? 866-348-7884. Do we really believe if prayer is so powerful, why don't we do it? 866-34-TRUTH. More Truth Talk Live on the other side of this break. Hang on.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Call in with your comment, question on the power of prayer. Why don't we pray enough? What about this walking on water incident in Mark chapter 6? We're talking about it all hour long on this Wednesday Word edition of Truth Talk Live. Jamal, ask the next question, and then we're going to jump on the phone lines because we got Ellen holding on. Go ahead. Why were they afraid? There's all this fear. Jesus is praying. They're in the boat in the middle of the sea, verse 47. He was alone on the land. He saw them straining. The Lord saw them doing this. Why would Jesus willingly send them into this trial? They were obedient.
Right.
The disciples did what the master said.
Yeah.
He beckoned them, get in the boat. Mm-hmm. He sent them out. They went out. They did everything right.
Right.
And yet they're surrounded by a storm. They're rowing. They can't get anywhere. The winds are crashing. The waves are crashing. And and so he allowed that to happen. So I want to get into that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that, friends? If you would like to weigh in, 866-348-7884. It's the fourth watch of the night, which is in the calendar, in the time frame, that's 3 a.m., to 6 a.m. somewhere, probably 4 a.m. or so. And then Jesus came walking to them, and they were terrified. Thought they saw a ghost. They cried out and all that.
Right.
So we're going to get into the fear factor here. Maybe you could share with what you're the most afraid of. And how did Christ help you come to you in your greatest fear?
Yeah.
We want to talk about that, too, at 866-348-7884. I'm going to share one of my greatest fears of all time, something that traumatized me in my youth. I still remember it vividly. It had to do with water. It had to do with Big Stew at the end of the show. But Ellen, we're going to bring you on the air. If you want to weigh in, you can call 866-348-7884. Still want to hear from some people on prayer. If it's so powerful, why don't we do it? Why don't we focus on it? If it accesses the throne room of God, no Roman charges, too. Ellen, you're on Truth Talk Live.
Hi. This is my first time calling as well.
Oh,
well,
another
thank
one.
You.
Oh,
awesome.
Good deal.
Hi. Hey, Jamal. You doing good? You doing good? This is Ellen. I'm co-host of the show Bridging the Gap with Minister Dwayne Kennedy.
Oh, Miss Ellen Forbes. Thank you
that's
very much for calling.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Oh, she's bringing ratings over here because that show is hot.
Yes, definitely.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. In my opinion, and of course it's just my opinion, I do feel like people sometimes do not pray because they think that they have to pray a certain way.
Mm.
in the past, or, you know, I just say, you know, back in the day, people thought prayer was, oh, Heavenly Father, who art thou? You know, all of those formalities, yes, rituals, and right, all those things. And what we like to express to people is prayer is just a conversation. It's just a conversation with God.
Right.
It's just pouring out your heart, being truthful. Of course, if you do it and, you know, come to Him in truth and spirit, it's just a conversation with your Heavenly Father.
Right.
Because that's who He is, right?
Right. And I remember the passage, and Stu, you'll have to help me out with this, but, you know, we are to pray like children pray.
Right.
I mean, what do children go through all those formalities? Do children, are they held to a high standard? Oh, a little 5-year-old, you got to step up your Bible game. You know, you didn't give me the right quote and all that. Sorry about that, kid. Go back and work on that. No, we're like, oh, well, thank you. That's sweet. Kid gives you a piece of artwork. We're like, hey, I got to get this appraised. I'm not sure if this is good enough to go on the wall. No, we put it up because we're proud of it. So why should my prayer be any different? That's a good, very good point.
We overthink it. Ellen, God bless you. That's a good word. Wow. Appreciate you calling, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Ellen.
To Minister Kennedy and the whole team there. God bless you.
All right.
Thanks so much. Yes, ma'am. Wow. So, you know, that is really, that's a good word right there. That's a good word. And I want to get more into this. So they have this amazing, this tremendous sense of fear. They thought he was a ghost. He's walking on the water. This miracle did happen.
Yeah.
The skeptics pick it apart all they can, but it is real.
Yes.
And they saw him, verse 50 of Mark 6. They were troubled, but immediately he talked to them.
Mm.
So here you have the master. What does he say? He says three things to them. Be of good cheer.
Right.
Which basically is, it's okay, take comfort.
Yes.
He says, number two, it is I.
Right.
Which is an I am statement. Amen. Ego on me.
Right.
You know, he's just like Exodus 3:14. He's the I am God.
Mm.
Isaiah 6. Jesus said it the seven I am statements in John. John 10, they went to stone him for saying it because he was committing blasphemy.
That's right.
He says, I am. It is me. It's I. It's right. You know, when you go home, mom and dad, you walk in the house, everyone hears you. You don't say, hey, you know, mother or Miss Smith is here. You say, I'm home.
Your guardian is here.
Yeah, that's right. You said, it's I. It's me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he said, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not, which is in the Bible a whole lot of times.
Now, Stu, hopefully I'm not stealing anybody's thunder. I guess, is that a little wave reference there?
Water
reference?
Very timely. Yes.
I think, and of course I could be wrong, Jesus led them into that storm so they could realize that they cannot go through storms, metaphorical or literal. They cannot go through storms without him.
Mm.
So I'm going to lead you into the storm to let you know how bad it is out there without me, but yet I will be there to save you from the storm.
Yeah, that's good. And if you jump ahead, which we should because of time, to the verse on down, it says, you know, he went to the boat with them, the wind ceased. There's another miracle. He's walking on water is one miracle, getting that boat, the wind stopping, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled.
Mm-hmm.
So they went from being frightened to marveling, just in awe, awestruck.
Wow. Yeah.
But it says this in verse 52, which is one of the saddest verses in the whole text, in the whole passage, in the whole book.
Okay.
They had not understood For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened.
Yes.
So here they see Jesus do this amazing miracle, distribute fish and chips to thousands of people on the shore of Galilee just hours before this.
Right.
And here Jesus calms the storm, walks out to them.
Yes.
And they didn't have the faith to trust him in that storm.
Right.
And, let's get off our high horse, friends, because we're in that boat.
Mm.
We're rowing like crazy. Mm. We see ourselves going under, tanking, nowhere to go, drowning, dying, all that. We see this ghost. We see someone walking, which we'd never seen before.
Right.
Yeah, we've seen this 1,000 times in Sunday school, but they'd never seen this before.
Right.
Yeah. We probably would have been frightened too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, that's a good question, by the way, if someone was to weigh in. How would you have responded if you were in that boat? If someone was to be a little transparent here. It might be crickets, but if you want to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Tell us how you would have responded if you were in that boat and the storm was there and you saw someone walking towards you on the water.
Right.
You ever seen anyone walk on water? You ever walked on water? You know, they thought it was a ghost. I mean, every superstition in the Middle Eastern, in the world, in the ancient times, every superstition, go read, you know, Persian mythology, Greek mythology, go read all the ancient Roman mythology.
Right.
Man, there's the middle of the night in the ocean all by yourself with a storm. This is all about, you know, Apollo or whoever the god of the sea,
yeah.
You know, in Neptune and all that, and you're a goner, and there's some kind of wild sea creature, Medusa or something. And so here they are, having heard all that all their life, and they see a character walking on water.
That's a very good point. A lot of people will say, oh, well, if I was there, clearly I would have Jesus come over to me. Well, yeah, you would, knowing what you know now. But like you said, Stu, those guys have never seen that before. I've heard about this passage dozens of times, and I've never heard about how the disciples never saw that before. Yeah. So their point of reference is a little different. They see that. They don't know it was Jesus, because he had to say, I am here. I am he. If he didn't recognize, or if he didn't let himself be known, they would have got freaked out. They probably would have ran under the lower decks and, you know, hightailed it out of there. So, yeah, you cannot say if you were there, you would have done things differently. So that's a very good point to make. But it says that we are to pray. So whether it's a demon out there, whether it's a ghost or whatever, the point of this show today is to talk about prayer. So in all times, again, what Paul says, we are to pray. So are you going to reach a point to where you are new with something, to where this new challenge or an old challenge? Are you saying, well, by the strap of my boots, I'm going to pull myself up and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z? Or are you going to say, hey, wait a minute, like David did, get me a Bible. Let me pray before I go into battle. Let me pray before I make any move. And that's the lesson that we all need to
the
make.
Power of prayer, the priority of prayer, the promise of prayer, and there they are in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And yet their faith waned. They saw him do these miracles. They saw him do more miracles. They saw him. They've seen him raise the dead.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen him raise Jairus' daughter earlier on.
Right.
You know, in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5, they've seen him cast out demons, all these miracles. They've seen him, this woman touched his garment, was healed, you know, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And of this deadly, fatal disease that broke her, bills were piling up and all that, he healed her. And yet, they didn't have the faith right there. And and how has our faith waned? How has your faith waned when you've seen God do these great things? You know he's the way maker. You know he's the miracle maker.
Right.
You know he's done all these amazing things in your life. He saved you. Yeah. Look at what he saved you from.
Amen. That's a good point.
And yet, how far have we fallen from our first love, a.k.a. Allah, you know, Revelation 3, verse 5?
Right.
And how far have we, how soon have we forgotten that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, here you have, you know, Jesus said, over and over again, he said, you know, he rebuked the disciples for hearing. He'd say, you know, you O ye of little faith, over and over again.
Yes.
You know, in the upper room, he rebuked him in Mark's account of the upper room. He says, you know, you know, after he appeared to him at the resurrection, he rebuked him for having a hardened heart in Mark 15.
Yes.
And you have Elijah and the Mount of Carmel, great miracles. The next day, he's scared out of his wits because Jezebel's after him. He's like, wait, where was God?
Right.
You know, he was just doing these great miracles. You just ousted every prophet of Baal in the land. 866-34-TRUTH. Any thoughts, comments about Jesus walking on the water? A cool little song will intro in the next segment. You won't want to miss that. Stay tuned. More Truth Talk Live after this. Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Power of prayer, the power of Jesus Christ walking on water, the power of his miracle healing at the end of Mark 6. It all started, though, when he went on the mountain to pray, and he's watching his disciples. Isn't it interesting that God's watching? It's like, you know, James 1, count it all joy when you fall into trials. God knows you're going through it. Everything you're going through right now, God knows, yet he's allowing that.
Yes.
And James says, let patience have her perfect work.
Yes.
And so we've asked all hour long, prayer is so powerful, why don't we do it more? We've asked all hour long, you know, what about this remarkable miracle of Jesus walking on the water? How has it touched you? We're getting to the last part of the passage. We've got a caller on the line. We've got Vine-tastic in our hands here. There you go, Jamal. There's your complimentary, delicious, Vine-tastic, refreshing from the Muscadine grape, state fruit of North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
The first discovered grape in North America.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Power packed with antioxidants. It's like a super fruit. It's like a grape and a berry. Has an extra set of chromosomes. And if you're not big into health, just ignore me for 20 seconds or so. But if you are and you want a drink that has no carbs, no sugar, no calories, but it'll give you, make you feel like $1 million after you drink it, then let me encourage you to learn more about Vine-tastic. Information is at the website mightymuscadine.com. And all their products there. I take 4 capsules a day. Jamal was asking me about that on the air. Jamal, all you got to do is go to mightymuscadine.com.
Okay.
Click on the capsules.
Yes, sir.
Order immediately, as many as you can.
I'm writing it down right now.
And then enter promo code TRUTH for extra savings. And that way the folks, Jerry, Judy, and the team, they asked me, hey, are people listening to the Truth Network? Are people supporting?
Yes.
They've supported us for like 20 years.
Wow,
I mean, the Blue
Ultra
Pure Bottle Water, great people. And so we our partners, you hear ads, you hear promos, you hear ministries on our network, on our stations, friends, please support them. And
yes.
But for your health, I mean, it's remarkable. The people that take this product that comment to me, you know, I don't really get sick that much. You know, it's really been, you know, especially with all the stuff in the air and all the people talking and all the scare and everything like that, just keeping your immune system boosted and taking care of yourself. But so I take those about 4 a day of those things, and my wife loves them. My mom takes them.
Oh, nice.
So mightymuscadine.com. Enter promo code TRUTH, the capsules, the muscadine juice, which does have a natural sugar in it. It's fresh squeezed right out of the vine.
Cool.
But then the Vine-tastic, which is no sugar, no carbs, no calories.
And also, Stu, it tastes great.
That helps. Yes, sir. So thank you, Jamal. And you enjoy that, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And I'm about to drink mine here, too. This is going to get me through the night. It's an all Wednesday the Word hour on Truth Talk Live, looking at Mark 6, 45 through 56. We're going to get into this miracle just crusade after they landed, after Jesus walked on the water and all that. But first, I want to get to Mike in Ohio. Mike, you're on Truth Talk Live with Stu. A comment on prayer, which is kind of how we started the show off. If it's so powerful and so important, why don't we do it?
Right.
Jesus was busy, and he had more going on than anyone. He was more important than anyone listening right now. He created your ears so you could listen right now, and yet he was not too busy to pray. Mike, talk to me.
Amen.
Yes, I think prayer is so powerful. You need to pray without ceasing, you know what I mean? Always in the communication with God.
Yes.
And one time I was driving and I was grieving about something. I don't even remember now because God took care of it.
Mm.
And I said, God, I need an answer. I need an answer. And somehow an audible voice came to my head or a thought came to my head. And God said, I know everything.
Mm.
And I went, wow. Okay, God, I'll just leave it up to you because you know everything. You know, and I'm sure that whatever I was praying for got taken care of because I don't even remember what it was.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So,
yep.
But I do remember that God said to me, he's going to take care of everything.
And I know everything.
Yeah, and he was going to take care of it.
There you go. And what you said is so loaded. You said that you prayed about something. You gave it over to God. I think about lean not on our own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And mentioned a little while ago about how we forget about things. We get so busy and actually we get so blessed, we forget about our blessings. And you just gave testament to that right there. I heard on, again, Truth Network, surprise, surprise, that we need to have a blessings book, a prayer book, something that we list our prayers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Go
so,
back to that. How did God answer?
There you go. Right.
Yeah, how often do we pause and thank God on Monday morning for a miraculous service on Easter Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, for what God did in our life, for God answered that prayer. Pull
Man.
Over your car and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For working this out, for you know, getting us through this storm.
Yes.
Because he is there in the storm. He's with you in the storm.
Yeah.
He is with you, and like Mike said, he's the omniscient creator. He's
Amen.
The God of the storm.
That's right.
So nothing passes to you that hasn't first passed through him and through that cross.
Right.
And so, you know, wow, what a word. Mike, thanks for your call, man. You really encouraged me today.
You're a blessing, sir. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
Wow. So,
One more thought, Stu. Just want to jump in real quick before I forget. Pastor Greg Laurie, I guess you guys can tell I listen to Truth Network a lot. Pastor Greg Laurie said, a faith not tested is faith that cannot be trusted.
Mm.
So if you're wondering why you're being tested, it's because God wants you to be trustworthy.
Yeah.
Why am I going through this trial? Why is it so hard? Because God is building you up. We said that in Wednesday the Word this morning. I think it might have been Larry. One of the guys said, well, God is taking you through it to build you up. You might not like it, but, you know, God is testing our faith so we can be trustworthy faith. Again, a faith not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Yep. And he's building us up in that precious faith. And I love what William Cowper said. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees.
Mm,
and sometimes we need that in email, don't we? You know, to wake us up. That's the communication God's calling us to. So they came out, they go to town. All of a sudden, Jesus, it says, people recognized him and ran throughout that whole area, began to carry about on beds, stretchers, those who were sick, wherever they heard he was, wherever he entered, the villages, cities, the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him that he would just touch, you know, could they just touch the hem of his garment?
Yes.
And as many as touched him were made well. Mm. This is indiscriminate, unconditional, common grace healing by Jesus.
Amen.
No vetting, no waiting period, no trials,
right?
No pre-screening, second opinions. Jesus healing everyone.
Right.
Just the resurrection power flowing out. Now, just because someone was physically healed doesn't mean their heart was changed.
Ooh.
You know, but Jesus, you know, the disciples ate the same miracle food, but then they had the same doubts when the storm came.
Yes.
You know, so, but this is the same Lord and God of the storm.
Right.
Who, you know, who was with them in the boat. And who you know who answered their need and met them in their greatest need. So and I love what one pastor said. I think it was Danny Aiken. He said, Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you more than you love yourself, which is a great deal. He's more compassionate than you could ever hope.
Right.
He's more powerful than you could ever imagine. He knows your needs more perfectly than you or I could ever comprehend. This bread of life allowed his body to be broken that your soul might receive spiritual nourishment it needed. He walked the stormy waters through the dark night that led to the cross so that he might rescue us, so that he might never again be terrified or afraid. Through the wonderful touch of his bloody redemptive hands, we can be forever healed of sin's diseases and made well forever. He walked across the stormy waters of judgment in our place. He took on our sickness in his own body. Take heart, Jesus says, understand, I am. He's the I am God.
Powerful.
So may we hear his voice. May we fix our eyes on him. May we carry this powerful word of the good news of Christ being there for us in the storm to a dying, storm-infested world all around us.
Amen. And some people will be like, you know what, guys? You're reading out of an old book. I can't trust that. Those miracles are just, you know, something that's made up. We can't believe in that. Au contraire, I would say. Mm. I would point you to a guy named Lee Strobel, who was a former atheist. Now he's turned Christian, and he is a evangelist.
You went and heard him at that Two Cities Church recently.
I did. It was great. It was awesome. And I went for all three services.
They can't get enough of that stuff.
I could not.
Yeah. So.
And he said that, If we had some kind of detractors back then somebody would have said those miracles did not happen. And I called into Matt Slick, I think it was yesterday, and said, well, if those miracles did not happen, then somebody would have had some kind of documentation refuting that. And Matt Slick said there's no documentation refuting none of the miracles. No documentation at all. So those miracles happened. If those miracles were false, somebody would have said that didn't happen.
That's right.
You can't find any documentation. So those miracles happened.
Yeah. And what's wild about this miracle, it says their hearts were hardened. They didn't they still didn't get it.
I know.
It's like, it's like Jesus did these miracles and the Bible doesn't record. The whole country followed him.
Yes.
Rome laid down their spears. They all bowed to him. It doesn't say that. It says they put him on a cross and they murdered him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, all this stuff. So so the power of unbelief, the power of depravity, but Jesus Christ is the God of the storm.
Right.
And in the midst of all this, and listen, have you encountered Christ?
Yeah,
is he just a theory? Is this an idea?
Yeah.
Is Easter just a concept? Or ask that last question, Jamal, as we get out of here. Final question.
Yes, sir. Describe how his resurrection power is working in you.
So the resurrection power of Jesus. How is your life different? Because the tomb is empty.
Amen.
How is your life now full? And I'll give you my scariest moment,
okay.
And this will take us back full circle. We're almost out of time, but I was just 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
I was in California with mom and dad. We were all in California visiting my family out there, Annie Mo and Uncle Ed and Cousin Ted.
Okay.
So dad and myself, Cousin Ted, Uncle Ed, Clarence, and Wayne and some other friends went whitewater rafting, and it was intense. And we were in that raft, and I fell off. And I went under, and I can remember the craggy rocks. I can remember the roaring rapids, rip-roaring rapids, and I just remember being frightened. I couldn't breathe. I tried to go up, and there was a raft full of people above me.
Wow.
I was trapped, and I felt a big hand reach down and grab me by the scruff of the neck right around where that life vest, you know, would be on the collar,
and
yank me up, and that was the paw of my paw. That was Big Stu's hand. And in the moment, I thought, wow, thank God that my dad saw me, by the way. He saw me fall out. He saw me go through. He saw the struggle. He saw the rocks. He saw the waves, right?
Right.
And God, and it reminded me, thinking about that image last night preparing for this Wednesday Word edition of Truth Talk Live today.
Right. Yeah.
Thinking about that image, Jamal, how about our Heavenly Father?
Amen.
How big are His hands?
Right.
And Jesus said His last words on the cross were, into Thy hands I commit my spirit.
Right.
How are we leaning on the everlasting arms?
There
how
you
are
go.
We taking His hand? How are we putting our hand in the hand, the nail-scarred hand of the one who bore our sin. And thank God for the big hand of my dad, and thank God for the big hand of my Heavenly Father. My dad's with the Heavenly Father right now.
There you go, mine too.
If you don't know the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord. He's the God of the storm. Whatever storm are you in, I don't have a clue.
Right.
He knows.
Amen.
We're just telling you, look to Jesus and watch what he will do and watch his power work to you. God
That's
bless
right.
you.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.